The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 12, and beginning at verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me as judge or arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be for anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap, and they have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why are you worrying about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink, and do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well." This is the word of the Lord. We're concluding today this series that we've been doing on a healthy attitude that seems to have started so long ago, a healthy attitude to life. And we began a long way back with Jonathan preaching on a healthy attitude to life in general, and then Rhys spoke to us about a healthy attitude to work. Rhys, have you listened to your own sermon yet? And are you doing it yet? No, I thought not, though. And then we had a healthy attitude to sex and to alcohol. And then last week, Pete preached on a healthy attitude to food. I don't know what it says about the church, but from what I'm seeing, the most downloaded sermon we've ever had is the healthy attitude to sex. And the least downloaded sermon we've ever had is the healthy attitude to alcohol. So I don't know what it says about the church, but I think we'll be returning to this so I can talk to you after Christmas so we can just get our perspectives right on these things. But I've thoroughly enjoyed preparing these sermons, and they seem to have gone down well with you. Just how do we take this book and apply it to modern problems in life today? Today we're looking at possessions, a healthy attitude to possessions. And for Christmas, I'm really excited this year. I'm terribly excited that for Christmas this year, I've heard a little rumor, a little whisper, that I'm getting a BlackBerry for Christmas. And I'm like a kid in a toy shop. I'm just so excited. If I don't get a BlackBerry for Christmas now, I'm going to be gutted. And I'm just sort of glancing down at Claire to see whether Father Christmas knows that that's what I think I'm getting for Christmas. Dave, what was that? I don't mean that kind of BlackBerry. I mean this kind. Why would I want soft fruit for Christmas? I mean this kind of BlackBerry. A healthy attitude to food. There we go. No, but a BlackBerry, for those who don't know, is a telephone, but it's also a miniature computer all in one. And apparently it's got lots of toys and gadgets and all sorts of bits and pieces on it. Gemma and one or two other folk who've got BlackBerries as well tell me they'll be able to instant message me to talk to me. I don't know why they can't just walk around the door and come into my office. And talk to me face to face. And if I've got a telephone, they could always call me, I suppose. But they'll be able to instant message me, and I'll be able to get my emails on the go. And it's all very, very exciting. It was a little bit embarrassing, though. We were sat at dinner on Friday, and we were sat opposite Pete Turner, And we were talking about Christmas presents and one thing and another and telephones. And he said, oh, I'll tell you what, though, don't get a BlackBerry. They're terrible. And I could see Claire just to my right, and her face was going, oh, no. But this is I'm told this is what I'm getting for Christmas. And I'm really, really excited. So I was so excited when Claire hinted at this that I went down to town while she was looking for Christmas presents. I went into the Virgin Media shop and said, do you sell BlackBerries? They said, yes, we do. I said, can I see some? Just so I could start checking them out and what they can do. And she brought out a couple of different models of the BlackBerry and showed me and was showing me all the different features. But then she said this. She said, whatever you do, don't buy one. Just get a contract on the line rental and we'll give you the BlackBerry. But whatever you do, don't buy one. Because they cost £200 or £300 each. And in a year's time, or in 18 months' time, it'll be out of date. And you'll want to upgrade it. And if you've got a contract, we can do an upgrade and send you a new phone. But if you've bought it, you're stuck with it. So whatever you do, don't buy it. Get it on contract. And I walked out thinking, isn't that the truth about possessions? We can get so excited about them. They're all new and shiny, and they're just what we want. And maybe we've put huge amounts of energy into getting just what we want. And we've waited and we've anticipated and we've got it in our hands. And in a year's time, we swap it for something else. We upgrade it. We buy that perfect dress. Not me, obviously. That perfect dress that we've been saving up, we've seen it in the shop, and we buy it, and then we have Christmas, and we can't get into it next month. Or we get a new car. I was so excited a few years ago when someone in the congregation helped us get a new car. I'd never had a new car. And I went and I picked it up, and there's that smell that when you get a new car, and we got in, and the odometer said 11 miles, or whatever it was. And we drove it home, and it got all the gadgets, the sat-nav and the reversing camera and all the wonderful toys in it. And the moment you drive it off the forecourt, it's worth £1,000 less. And by the time you get a year on, it's worth only half the price. And now 5 years on, I hate to think what it might be worth. Isn't it true of possessions that really, they're here and yet they're ephemeral? We put so much effort into buying and collecting and getting and wanting. And yet within such a short time, they're gone, or they're worthless, or they're broken, or they don't fit, or they're not what we want. Jesus said, don't chase after stuff. It doesn't work for you. It doesn't really make you happy at the end. It doesn't do anything for you in eternity. One day, I've got some bad news for you. You know, one day, they're going to bring you in this place and me in a box. And they're going to bring you down the front and they're going to say nice things about you. Then they're going to take you out and drop you down a hole and come back and eat potato salad and egg sandwiches. And all of our stuff will go to someone else. And Jesus said to this rich young man that came to him, you know, your stuff doesn't last forever. When you get possessions, when you get wealth, when you gather things up, it doesn't last forever. Instead, set about storing up for yourself things that will last forever. And Jesus highlighted a few problems, really, with possessions. And this Christmas, you know, we're just going to go mad getting more stuff. And Jesus just highlighted a few things about possessions. He said, first of all, they don't last forever. In the story, in the parable that he told, he said that this wealthy man had built a bigger barn and he gathered all his stuff up. And God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. And then who will get what you've prepared? Things don't last into eternity. They don't have lasting value. They gather dust and they rust and the moth gets at them and they wear out and they don't fit and they don't last forever. And one day somebody else will get them. And he went on to say, you know, don't chase after things that they won't give you lasting happiness. However much you want that new computer, that new car, that new pair of shoes, whatever it is, however much you want it, it won't provide lasting happiness, because there'll come a point where you want the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing. And then, of course, as he discovered, this man in the parable discovered, you can't take it with you. When you go, you can't take it with you. And I want you to notice, Jesus isn't warning against possessions. We all need stuff. We all need clothes, and we need a house, and in our culture, we do need to be able to get around, and we do need some stuff. It wasn't the possessions that Jesus was warning against. To this particular young man, he says, "Who appointed me as judge or arbiter between you?" And then he says this, "Watch out and be on your guard," not against owning stuff. He said, "Watch out and be on your guard against all kinds of greed." See, Jesus' warning was not against owning things, but it was against the desire, the overwhelming desire to have stuff, the greed. He said to them, and to everyone else who was listening around, he said, "Watch out, guard against being greedy, of your heart being set first and foremost on things." I looked up a definition of greed, and it said, "An excessive desire to acquire or possess more than what one needs or deserves, especially with respect to material wealth." An excessive desire to possess more than you need. Can you think of a better definition of Western consumerist culture than this excessive desire to possess more than we need? The BlackBerry, I'm sure, will function perfectly well as a phone in 2 years' time and 5 years' time. And yet the pressure will be, upgrade, buy a new one, throw that away with all the waste that goes with it, and spend the money and get a new one. An excessive desire to acquire or possess more than you need. And what an excessive nation we are. What a greedy nation we are. Next week on, what day is Christmas? Friday next week? Friday, good. Make sure I'm here for that. Next week on Friday, on average, in each household, we will spend £163 on food and drink for that day. We'll spend £660 on average on gifts. I want to know who's getting my share, because I don't think we'll be spending that much in our house, but £660 on average in each household on gifts. £20 on cards and postage. £25 on decorations. £20 on crackers. £35 on Christmas trees. Approximately 7 million Christmas trees will be sold, worth £245 million. And you know what's going to happen on the 2nd of January? The council will drive around and pick them all up and chip them and put them down as bark chippings in the parks. £245 million for a week, and then we'll chip them. An estimated £160 million worth of Christmas decorations were imported to the UK in 2006 to meet consumer demand. We send an estimated 1.7 billion Christmas cards in this country. Christmas wrapping paper sold in the UK equates to 83 square miles. That's enough to wrap the Isle of Guernsey. And we'll put it all on, with a lot of bad temper in my case, and stuck bits of sellotape in the wrong place and patched bits of paper. We'll stick it all on, and we'll put it under the tree, and we'll get up the next morning, we'll rip it all off, and we'll put it in the bin. And we could wrap the Isle of Guernsey with the paper that we're going to throw away on Christmas morning. Christmas costs the average household £975 for the day. Based on a 12-hour day, this works out at £1.75 a minute. or £81.27 an hour. The average Christmas lunch will cost £14 per head, excluding alcohol. 80% of the world's population live on £6 a day, under £6 a day. Over 10 million turkeys will be sold this year, totaling a cost of £400 million. The average turkey will weigh 12 pounds in weight and cost £60 in money. The recommended daily calorie intake for a man is 2,500 calories. On Christmas Day, we will average 5,500 calories. In India, the average calorie intake each day is 2,000 calories. On average, each person will spend £390 on Christmas gifts, and they'll receive gifts worth more than £300. We eat too much. We must be the first time in history that we're killing ourselves with an excess of food. We eat too much. We drink too much. We own too much. We're killing our planet and we're killing ourselves with this greed, this desire for possessions. We throw too much away. But Jesus said to those who would follow him, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And as we just come to this Christmas, I just wanted us to pause and just reflect on that. As we start to think about our Blackberries and our phones and our new shoes and all the things that we hope to get for Christmas, Jesus said to us, don't seek those things first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I want you to notice it says first. Seek first the kingdom of God. He doesn't say you don't need those things. He doesn't say those things are unimportant. He says just get them in perspective. Seek first the kingdom of God. We all need clothes. We all need food. We all need shelter. But Jesus said, make your first priority the kingdom of God. What does he mean by the kingdom? He means that place where God rules and reigns and where God's priorities are put first. He means a place where there's healing. He means a place where there's restoration of broken relationships. He means a place where there's justice. He means there's a place where there's peace and wholeness. And he says, seek first those things where disease and separation and division and pain and hunger and inequity are being dealt with. He says, seek those things first. If you're a follower of mine, if you're a disciple of mine, seek first those things. And God knows you need everything else. He'll take care of those, but seek those things first. And as we unwrap our presents this year, and as we spend maybe the last of our money, I just want us to remember those words, seek first the kingdom of God, and trust and have faith that our Heavenly Father will take care of the other things. This means that, men, I'm talking to you now because you're the ones who still haven't bought your wife a present yet. You're the ones who still haven't finished your Christmas shopping. Most of the women, I suspect, will have finished their Christmas shopping, but the men, we haven't. It means this. When you open your hand next week in the St. David's Centre and you've got a pound there or a £5 there or a £10 there, the first thing Jesus says we ought to think about is, what does God want me to do with this money? Not what do I want, or what does my wife want, or what does my family want, or what does my pastor want? When we open the money, our hand, and the money's there, we open our wallet and we see the purple of the £20 note at the back, the first question we should be asking ourselves is, what does God want me to do with this money? What are the kingdom priorities for this? Is it right that I should buy myself another pair of shoes, another whatever it is, when I've already got so many? Or is there another purpose? Nothing wrong with the stuff. It's the greed that Jesus speaks about in this passage. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And then Jesus' promise is this. If you do that first, then God knows and he'll take care of the rest. That if we seek first the kingdom of God, he will take care of all those other needs. And if we can have the last point up, God will take care of the rest. As we come to this Christmas, as we think about more and more stuff, as we think about presents and possessions, I do hope that we'll also remember, seek first the kingdom of God. That as a body, as a church, that we're saying, what is it that God wants us to do with our money? What is it that God wants us to do with our possessions that will build something that lasts forever? You know, 100 and however many years ago, 50 years ago roughly, there was a group of people in this place. There was no building here at that time. And they decided they wanted to do something with their money that would last beyond their lifetime. When I read the histories and when I read the stuff that Les Richards has given me, there were some people who made some pretty tough choices. And they decided that instead of spending their money on more possessions, they'd spend it on the kingdom of God. And they put money into a fund and they put up a tin shack on this site. And pretty soon it got too small, and so they knocked it down and they put up this building. And for 150 years, people have come to know Jesus in this building. For 150 years, we've been opening the baptistry and baptizing people because a group of folk 150 years ago thought, what shall I do with my money? I'll build something that will last forever. And those folk in heaven, from time to time, will see folk walking through the door who were saved because they put the kingdom of God first. And it's 150 years on and folk are still getting saved because of something they did. They could have bought a new coat with their money and it would now be rubbish. They could have bought themselves a house and when they died, their children would have taken it. But they said, I'm going to build something that lasts forever. They sought first God's will with their money. And we benefit from that. If Jesus hasn't returned in a 50 years, 100 years, 150 years time, what will people remember about us and what we did with our money? I hope that you get everything you want for Christmas. I really do. I hope that the presents are perfect and the food is satisfying. And I pray that your families are harmonious. But if you look into those things for long-lasting happiness, you're wasting your time. Ultimately, you'll be disappointed. The presents will date or break. And after too much turkey, your clothes won't fit. And the next day, you're still going to have to cook again anyway. The food will be wonderful, but tomorrow you'll be hungry again. The company will be great, but then the family will go home. If you want a truly joyous and happy and fulfilled Christmas, it won't be found in stuff, in possessions, in the presents, but in one place only. And Jesus said to that young man, follow me, because that's worth more than anything you can own. The stuff's not in, the happiness isn't in stuff, but in the creator of all things. God bless you as you open your presents this year, but just remember to seek first the kingdom of God. May now the peace of God and the joy of God and the comfort of God be with you and those you love. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit be with you this day, through this Christmas time and evermore. Amen.